Today, in the year 2022 of the Gregorian calendar, today is the celebration of Shivaratri. Often, on the appearance day of great personalities or the disappearance day, we speak in the morning. Can speak in the evening also, but especially Shivaratri. Ratri means night. It's especially a celebration that goes on all night. And Lord Shiva is especially associated with the night, as he is the Lord of Darkness, which is very strange, because everything about Lord Shiva, it's very, very difficult to understand. He's full of contradictory qualities. The most important thing about him from our Vaishnava perspective, which means the actual perspective of reality, is that he is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Vaishnavanang yatha shambhu. We often hear that Lord Shiva is cited as the exemplar among Vaishnavas. Today, I'm going to read, plan to read from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Srila Sanatan Goswami in the first section of it. It's really two books in one. In the first book, we have comparative theology or unfolding levels of love of God, even more and more and more advanced levels of love of God. Although in one sense, definitely when we come to the platform of Lord Shiva, then we come to, it's pure devotional service. Prior to that, we have up to Brahma, and there may be some mixture of material desire in Brahma, but beginning with Shiva, it's pure devotional service. So we also shouldn't think that someone is greater, someone is lesser. Who are we? We're here down in this miserable material world, and we want to judge those who are far beyond our level. Sanatan Goswami himself, who wrote this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, among other books, this is of unique importance, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, inasmuch as it illustrates the truths of Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially that is revealed in Sanatan Goswami's own commentary on his own work, which was masterfully translated into English by our dear departed godbrother, Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu. Sanatan Goswami had a particular connection with Lord Shiva, because although having come to Vrindavan, he lived at the Dwadashaditya Tila, or the place of where Madan Mohan, he worshipped Madan Mohan there. But toward the end of his life, he went quite some distance away, and if we have to walk, it would take quite some time. It's near to Govardhan, Manasi Ganga, to the place of Chakaleshwar Mahadeva. It's actually Chakratirtha, where the Chakreshwara Mahadev means Lord Shiva, and in colloquial usage, that's Chakaleshwar Mahadev, that's said. So he came to stay next to the temple of Lord Shiva, and he wanted to spend the rest. He was already quite old at this time, and he just wanted to stay there. And he was doing Govardhan Parikrama. That his moving there facilitated his doing Govardhan Parikrama. He would do it. There's the inner Parikrama, which we generally do, and there's a bigger one also, which is almost twice as long. If you go further out. So he would do that. But he had a problem living at his new place as infested with mosquitoes. He's a pure devotee. But in this material world, the pure devotees, they interact. They appear to interact with this material energy. So day and night. Generally, we think of mosquitoes only in the night, but I have experiences, some places where Diba Nishi Hi Ajale, your heart is burning day and night, and the mosquitoes are biting day and night also. So eventually he decided to move, because it is difficult to do bhajan, to concentrate, if you're constantly being disturbed by mosquitoes. So at that time, when he just decided to move, one brahmana came. It was actually Lord Shiva appearing as a brahmana and humbly requested Sanatana Goswami, please don't leave. We want you here. And he promised that from that day on there'd be no more mosquitoes. They wouldn't cause him any disturbance. So Sanatana Goswami decided to stay. And up to the present time, there are no mosquitoes at that place. Sanatana Goswami passed away. Anyway, let's get on to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Obviously, I'm not going to start at the very beginning. It's a major work, but Narad Muni is going from devotee to devotee, appreciating their transcendental quality of devotion to Krishna. And everyone has their own individual expression and level of devotion to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he'd gone up to Lord Brahma and was praising Lord Brahma for being a great devotee. But typically, what happens is he'll go to one devotee. He started off seeing practically a materialistic devotee, but somewhat materialistic on this earth. And he praised him as being a great devotee. He said, no, I'm not a great devotee. And then you have to go to, and this way, you go to someone else, and then you go to someone else who's been praised as a great devotee, and he'll say, no, it's not me. And you go to see someone else. So each one goes, we're going level by level, we're going up. So he's come to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, typically he's not pleased by being called a great devotee. He says, no, I'm not a great devotee. You have to see Lord Shiva. He is the real object of Lord Vishnu's mercy. He's famous as being so close, friendly with the Lord. He's always intoxicated. See, Lord Shiva dances like a madman. He appears to be intoxicated, but he's intoxicated by the taste, the nectar that he finds in meditating on Lord Krishna's lotus feet. He, unlike me, I'm interested in ruling the universe, Brahma says, and all the perks that go with that. Sense enjoyment. But Lord Shiva, he's not interested. You see him dancing around naked with ashes on his body and with a garland of weeds and bones. And you may think, well, that's very low class, but it's as if to show that, well, he has his wife as the repository and the dispenser of all material pleasure, but it's as if to ridicule all of that. What is all that? What is all that? Lord Shiva, if he wants, he can have the fabulous opulence beyond which even Lord Brahma can imagine, but Lord Shiva, as if to show how ridiculous that all is, he dresses and acts as if a madman. And in this way, he might appear with his hair all matted and bouncing up and down as he dances, and Gunga is coming on his head. He seems to be a madman, but those who are Tattvavit, those who know the actual fact, his glories cannot be concealed from them. With great pleasure, he holds on his head the Ganga, because he feels that this is coming, oh, coming from the feet of my Lord. He dances so vigorously, it can become dangerous, and at a certain point in time, his dancing destroys the whole universe. And although Lord Shiva himself says that only Vishnu can give liberation, but Lord Vishnu has given an opportunity to Lord Shiva to give liberation. So he gives liberation. Lord Brahma is explaining all these glories of Shiva to Narada. Of course, how Shiva gives liberation, that's well known, that at the city of Shiva, which is actually the city of Vishnu, but it's been given to Shiva. Okay, you take it in your name. At Kashi, famous people go there to die because they know they'll get liberation if they die there by the grace of Lord Shiva. But how does Lord Shiva give liberation? Anyone who dies in the area of Kashi, Lord Shiva will come at the time of death and whisper in their ear, Rama, Rama, Rama. And by hearing the name of Rama, they'll get liberation. So he gives liberation, but ultimately it's Lord Vishnu he gives. But he's able to do so. And especially persons who are interested in impersonal liberation, they go to him for liberation. Even those who live on his planet, they're liberated, Brahma says. And people become pure devotees of Krishna by his mercy. He's the head of a Vaishnava Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya. So that's going on up to the present day. So Brahma says, quoting so many Shastric evidences, or there are so many Shastric evidences, that it is an offense to consider Lord Shiva different from Krishna. Now, in one sense, we have to consider him different. Yas tu narayanam devam brahma rudra adi daivatai samatvenaiva viksheta sapashandi bhavet dhruva. Definitely, the Shastra says, one is a great heretic if he considers demigods even up to the level of Brahma and Shiva to be on the level of Vishnu. But in another way, if one differentiates Vishnu from Shiva, that is a great offense, because the actual identity of Lord Shiva is completely as a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, and he acts on Lord Vishnu's behalf in so many ways within the universe. The personality of Godhead tolerates offenses against himself, but he doesn't tolerate offenses against Lord Shiva. He doesn't tolerate offenses against his devotees. So Brahma is going on and explaining to Narad, giving so many examples of how Lord Shiva is glorified and protected and is dear to Lord Krishna. He gives the example that Maya, the Tripurishvara, the Lord of Tripura, not Tripura, which is a state of India, but the three cities of the demigods, of the demons, he got a benediction from Lord Shiva by which he thought himself greater. The demons, they thought themselves greater than Lord Shiva. And actually, Lord Shiva wasn't able to defeat them, but he was when Krishna helped him. And Vrikasura, Shiva gave a benediction to Vrikasura. If you touch your head, sorry, if you touch anyone's head, that head will shatter. And then Vrikasura wanted to use that boon on Lord Shiva to kill Lord Shiva. And again, Krishna saved him. Sometimes Lord Krishna takes the role as if he's subordinate to Shiva and worships him with great devotion. Most famously, Ram worshipping Shiva before going to Lanka to defeat Ravana. And Brahma goes on giving examples that at the churning of the milk ocean, the first product, before the nectar came the poison, which could destroy the whole universe. Lord Vishnu himself was quite capable to nullify the effect of that poison, but he asked Lord Shiva, "You do it, you do it, you take the glory, you be glorified." And then he kept it only as far as his throat. Therefore, he became known as Neelakanta. Lord Shiva has a whitish body, but his neck is blue from the poison. And then all the demigods and demons present, they all praised and had an abhishek for him. And Lord Vishnu was very pleased that his devotee, Lord Shiva, was taking the credit. There are so many in the Puranas, there are so many instances of Lord Vishnu's mercy upon Lord Shiva. Hari Hara. Lord Vishnu is Hari and Shiva is Hara. So Brahma says to Narad, "You know all these things. You know all these things. I don't need to tell you. You just think about it, and you know very well, Narad, the glories of Lord Shiva." So Parikshit Maharaj, who is speaking this Brihad Bhagavatamrita to his mother Uttara, tells her at this point that at this point Narada bowed down to his guru, Brahma. Brahma is his guru as his father and as his spiritual guide in both ways. And then Narada thought, okay, I'm going to go and get the mercy of Lord Shiva, get his darshan. And he set off for Kailas, Mount Kailas, which is famous as the abode of Lord Shiva. But Brahma said, "You see, Kailas, what is that? That's actually the place of Kuvera. Why is Shiva there? Because Kuvera once devotedly worshipped Shiva. And then Shiva, to reciprocate with that, has placed himself as if under the authority of Kuvera and lives on Kailas and is the protector and everything there." So when he's there in Kailas, although it's a amazing situation, but he's only manifesting a little of his opulence. Therefore, Brahma says, he gives the example that, you see, you're seeing Krishna, Vishnu, worshipped in different places in the universe. He manifests himself in different places within the universe to accept the devotion of his servants, Lord Vishnu. But when he does so, he only manifests a little of his opulence. So similarly, Lord Shiva is in Kailas, but it's within the material sphere, so He's only manifesting a little of his opulence. What you should do, you should go to Shivaloka, the planet of Lord Shiva, which is beyond the seven coverings of the universe. It's not exactly within Vishnuloka, but it's beyond the seven coverings of the universe. So go there. If you really want to see Lord Shiva, Brahma says, you go to Shivaloka, and then you'll see that it's very similar to the spiritual world. It's eternal and full of happiness. It's real, and the best of Lord Shiva's servants can go there. And there he reveals himself in his full splendor. You won't find him in looking like a poor man in Shivaloka. And there are his companions who share opulence and beauty just like his. And there he worships Lord Sankarsan, manifestation or part of a part of Lord Vishnu, Lord Sankarsan, who in one sense is none different from himself, because Lord Shiva is a manifestation of Sankarsan. And Lord Shiva worships Sankarsan. We find this also in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. Brahma says to Narada, you can go there. You can go there because you have pure devotion for him, for Lord Shiva. It's not that anyone can just go to Shivaloka at will, but Lord Krishna has given Narada the boon that he can go wherever he likes, as he likes, when he likes, how he likes. So Brahma recommends to Narada, you go to Shivaloka, and you take shelter of Lord Shiva, and then you can see the real mercy of Krishna manifested in the personality of Lord Shiva. So, Parikshit says to his mother, Uttara, he went off to Shivaloka. Narada went off to Shivaloka, very excited, chanting, Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna. And when he arrived there from a distance, Narada saw Lord Shiva, Hara, Sri Hara, and he'd just finished his routine or regular worship of Lord Sankarsan. Hara had just finished his worship of Sankarsan. He does worship in a ritual way. He doesn't need to because he's on the platform of pure love, but he does so to teach others to do so. But like others who do their ritual performances of worship, puja, with all paraphernalia and this and that, Lord Shiva becomes completely intoxicated in bliss by doing so. So having finished his regular daily puja, then Lord Shiva was just completely overcome by bliss and is dancing, just jumping and loudly singing out the glories of his Lord, while his associates are there playing music and calling out, Jai, Jai! Lord Shiva also reciprocating with those who are assisting him in his dancing and glorifying the Lord. He especially praises with affection Nandishvara, who is very famous as his assistant, as well as Uma, his wife, who's clapping her hands in rhythm as he dances. So Narada is saying this, wow, this is bliss. He hadn't seen this in his travels, seeing different devotees. Someone's just completely mad in love of Krishna. So Narada is playing his Veena wherever he goes. He plays his Veena as he goes and glorifies the Lord. And he also wanted to bow down to offer respect, but he was playing his Veena and he just nodded his head like this. And he called out to Lord. He himself got in the mood of just ecstatic love, and he called out to Lord Shiva because he wanted to see, see who is the greatest recipient of the mercy of Lord Krishna. And he called, you, he called out to Shiva, and you are the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And in a very sweet voice, Narad can sing very nicely, he recounted to Lord Shiva everything that Lord Brahma had just said in praise of Lord Shiva. And of course, we have to remember that Narad and Shiva are brothers. They're both sons of Brahma. So Narad came up wanting to get the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, who is the best friend of all the Vaishnavas. But as he came near, Lord Shiva, with a flood of Krishna consciousness in his heart, the bliss was driving him wild, and he just pulled Narad and embraced him. And then, respectfully, he said to Narad, you're a son of Brahma. What are you saying? By calling him son of Brahma, he indicated that you should know what you're talking about. What are you, as if to say, what nonsense are you talking, calling me a great Vaishnava? This is the Vaishnava quality of that we see repeatedly throughout Brihad Bhagavatamrita. No one will say I'm a great Vaishnava. Others will say they are a great Vaishnava. But the same thing that others see as qualities, the Vaishnava sees, no, I'm just simply full of faults. We'll see that now in the case of Lord Shiva. Narad himself, of course, is a great devotee, but he's looking to see, where can I find the great devotees? Then Lord Shiva stopped his blissful dancing and he sat down to talk with Narada, because that's another aspect of Krishna consciousness. We talk with Vaishnavas, we serve Vaishnavas, we dance with Vaishnavas. It's not one activity, many activities. So then he sat on a kusha mat, kushasana, straw mat, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva sat in the virasana, that's a sitting posture in which one is very alert and ready to, it's a pose of a hero, typically. And with several of his companions around him, and then Narad bowed down to Lord Shiva, who is known as the life and soul of Parvati. And Lord Shiva, Narad, chanted the sixth symbol, Rudra mantra. Generally in the shastras, they'll just mention the mantra. They won't give the mantra. Anyway, it's a very well-known mantra, which is the six-syllable Rudra mantra. Then Narada, he recited prayers glorifying Lord Shiva as the supreme controller of the universe. And in detail, proclaimed the glories of Lord Shiva, especially because this is what Narada is looking for on his travels, that you have fully got the mercy of Lord Krishna. This is what Narada wants to see. Who has got fully the mercy of Lord Krishna? And actually, all these personalities described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they all have fully, but there's full, more full, and more full, and more full, and it's unlimited. So, even though Lord Rudra, Shiva, is a great Vaishnava Acharya, and he does spread the mercy of Krishna consciousness within the universe. Hearing this, he covered his ears and angrily replied. He became angry at Narada. I'm not the Lord of the universe. He is and he isn't. He's known as Parameshvara. He is inasmuch as he is deputed to do so by Lord Krishna. But ultimately, of course, Krishna himself is the Lord of the universe. Or if you want to be technically precise, Lord Vishnu. Krishna's dancing. happily. Lord Vishnu is the Lord of the universe, but he also does remotely. So Lord Shiva said, I'm not the Lord of the universe. I'm not an object of Krishna's mercy. I am very poor and fallen and lowly. And who am I? I'm just hankering for the favor of the servants of his servants. Now, of course, although that sounds like a very low position, but to be hankering for the favor of the servants of Lord Vishnu is a very high position. Narada was shocked. Really? I heard all this praise from Brahma, and Brahma, what he says is true. Brahma, he doesn't say anything untrue. He knows what he's talking about. But Lord Shiva is contradicting him and saying, I'm not a great Vaishnava. So Narad thought, well, I made an offense. What am I doing? I came here and I wanted to get the mercy of Lord Shiva, but he's become angry at me now. So he stopped praising Lord Shiva as non-different from Krishna, and this ebullient, enthusiastic way he had been praising Lord Shiva, now he spoke in a soft voice as if to placate Lord Shiva. And Narad said, yes, you do know, definitely. You do know the confidential, mysterious glories of Lord Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, and you do expertly explain those glories. Therefore, the best Vaishnavas aspire for your mercy. You're saying that you want the mercy of the Vaishnavas, but the best Vaishnavas aspire for your mercy. And there's no doubt that Krishna has got very high regard for you, and he himself extensively spread your glories. In so many avatars, Krishna worships you and takes from you various boons. But upon hearing this, Lord Shiva, he was trying to keep calm, but he couldn't anymore. And he felt ashamed of that, why I'm being praised in this way. And he jumped up and covered Narad's mouth with both his hands and said, don't even mention that arrogance of mine that I gave boons to the Supreme Lord. And then, thinking about that, he said to Narad, what we're talking about is the inconceivable potency and power of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. My Lord is so grave, Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva says that Lord Vishnu, my Lord, is so grave and deep and sober, and he's an ocean of great qualities, but it's a varied ocean. It's not just homogeneous. I've committed all kinds of offenses, Lord Shiva said, against Lord Vishnu, but he doesn't reject me. Narad, being very, very happy, he became very, very happy, because he could understand that Lord Shiva, by denigrating himself in this way, what is it? It's just another expression of Lord Shiva's complete absorption in the transcendental taste of pure devotion to Krishna. Before, he was dancing wildly in pure devotion. Now there's discussion of the glories of Lord Shiva, and Narad has praised Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva doesn't want to hear it and says, I'm very lowly, I'm a long, long, long way from pure devotion. And Narad understands this is another expression. It's another manifestation of the glories of Lord Shiva, of his pure devotion. So Narad, being so happy, he grabbed Lord Shiva's feet and got him to sit down again and spoke to appease him, to calm him down, and said, Narad said, you are so dear to Lord Achyuta, there's no question of your ever offending him. Others who are ignorant may say that you are making offences to Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu himself, he doesn't say that Shiva is offending me. He never even sees any offence. Rather, and then Narad gives some examples, Banasura, he should have been thoroughly punished by Lord Vishnu for causing so much distress to saintly persons, by the strength of his arms and using mystic potencies, he arrested Aniruddha. What a terrible thing to do, the grandson of Krishna. He arrested Aniruddha and he fought against Lord Krishna. But when Krishna was about to kill Barnasura, Lord Shiva interceded on the behalf of Barnasura because Barnasura had worshipped Lord Shiva and pleased him, and Lord Shiva saved Barnasura from being killed by Krishna. And Krishna, he chopped off his 1,000 arms and just left him with 4 arms, which made him look like himself. And he gave Barnasura the boon of long life, so many boons. Even though he should have been killed by Krishna, but because of Lord Shiva's intercession, Krishna saved him and honored Barnasura, forgave him for all his offenses. So this is an example Narad Muni is giving of the mercy, or how highly Lord Vishnu regards Shiva. Another example, Gargya. Gargya was a son of Garga Rishi, but he worshipped Lord Shiva by severe penances. He wanted to harm the Yadus. He became puffed up, even though he was of good birth. But Lord Shiva, of course, he gives the boons in such a way that they boomerang. So even though that Yavan, Kala, the son of Garga, was able to cause trouble to the Yadus, because Garga wanted his son to kill the Yadus, but Lord Shiva, he gave the boon in such a way that the Kala was able to give trouble, but he wasn't able to kill like this. In other words, the boons that Lord Shiva gave to demons, they had loopholes in them, so that the demons couldn't actually harm Vishnu or the Vaishnavas. Chitraketu is an example of someone, Narad says, who foolishly dared to criticize Lord Shiva. And Sanatana Goswami in his commentary says that, well, Chitraketu, he was not in a fully realized stage when he did that. Of course, this can be seen from various angles also. But anyway, the point that Narad is making here is that Lord Shiva didn't become angry at Chitraketu because he knew that Chitraketu was a surrendered devotee of his own worshipable Lord, Sankarshan. Then, once, Shiva asked, or he expressed the desire to Krishna to become greater than Krishna. But then he changed his request and said, no, you make me your devotee. This will be seen that because knowing that Krishna wanted Lord Shiva to be seen by certain people as greater than he, then Lord Shiva asked for that benediction. But then he asked, no, but actually what I really want is to be your devotee. So at that point, the Supreme Lord granted he and the goddess Durga the authority to give liberation. that liberation for which even Brahma and others pray for. So in this way, Narad says, you have power and opulence unobtainable, unimaginable for even the great demigods up to the level of Brahma. But even greater opulence is that you have all this, but you're not in the slightest bit interested. You disregard all prospects and possibilities of material happiness. And you just, you're like a, you are a completely liberated soul, and you just act in a way that others might consider to be like a madman. You have nothing to do with social conventions. Why? Because you're always fixed in samadhi of love of Lord Krishna, Vishnu. Who else would dance naked, I mean, with your wife there and so many other respectable attendants? And Narad said that, I'm not just talking theoretically, but I've seen it today. How I came, you didn't know I was coming and you did some drama. It's just your autumn, your natural, spontaneous, daily way of worshipping Krishna. So no wonder Krishna loves you so much, because you love him so much. And Narad said, what is there to say? What more can I say? Krishna loves you so much, and by your mercy, so many others have become dear to him. And by your wife's mercy, so many people have become dear to Lord Krishna. She knows both about you and Krishna, because she is Krishna's sister. If you remember in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, his birth, Krishna is born from Yashoda, yes, from Yashoda, and his sister is also born. And she is taken by Vasudev to Mathura, and she manifests herself before Kamsa, Parvati, Ambika, and so many names she has. So that is why Lord Shiva looks, he cares for and is affectionate to his wife, not like a materially conditioned person does, because Lord Shiva is fully satisfied in himself. He didn't have to marry her. He did so, the demigods wanted a leader for their army, as a son from Shiva and Uma, but he accepted her, knowing her to be a great devotee of Vishnu, and therefore he cares for her. Otherwise, he's not some mundane person interested in family happiness. And he gives her pleasure by always holding festivals daily. His whole life is like an ongoing festival. Lord Shiva's whole life, Narada says, is like an ongoing festival of singing the names of Vishnu and reciting his glories, chanting, dancing in the association of devotees. So at this point, Lord Shiva, hearing this, became very embarrassed and just lowered his face. And then that great leader of all the Vaishnavas answered, the great devotee Narad, he said, it's actually very painful for me to hear all this. Narad, you don't have any false pride, but I'm the root of all pride in this world. Right? Lord Shiva, the root of all pride, people worship him and they get the pride of thinking, I am God. I'm the root of all pride in this world, and how can you compare me to Krishna, who actually prideless people worship? I am covered by so many false identities, Lord Shiva said. People see me as the Lord of the material world, and I think of myself like that. I think of myself, I'm all-knowing, I'm the giver of knowledge, I am liberated, I bestow liberation, I grant devotion to Lord Vishnu, I am so great. But look at me, I'm the biggest mode of ignorance person there is, because when there's the time of the annihilation comes, it's me, it's through me that the whole cosmic manifestation is destroyed. And I'm simply feeling ashamed, Lord Shiva said. Narad, please listen, Narad, he says, if I really had even a drop of the mercy of Lord Hari, then why did he fight me? When he took away the Parijata flower, that's another from in the heavenly planets. When Aniruddha abducted Usha, and on other such occasions, you see, Lord Vishnu, he fought me. If you have someone's mercy, they don't fight with you. That this is Lord Shiva's plea. And why did he tell me, you turn people away from me by concocting your own versions of scripture? This refers to Shankaracharya. Actually, only Lord Shiva could do this. The role of Shankara in misguiding, only Lord Shiva. First of all, we're talking about Shankaracharya here. Very, very powerful. Very, very convincing. Who could do that? Only someone as powerful as Lord Shiva. And who is as powerful as Lord Shiva? Only Lord Shiva. And who can do that unpleasant but necessary service without being himself swallowed up by the wrong ideas that he preaches? But still, Shankara, Shiva, thinks that, you see, I'm so unfortunate. I had such a bad job. This to propagate this philosophy of undifferentiated monism. But that has a purpose in the world also. That the undifferentiated monism, Kevaladvaitavad, that was necessary at the time to preach that, and it has given the platform for the Vaishnava Acharyas to present the proper philosophy, which they present in various ways as Vishishtadvaita, Shuddhadvaita, Dvaitadvaita, Shuddhadvaita, and ultimately Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So it is, again, is Lord Shiva very, very difficult to understand. There's so many paradoxes, but here he's saying that I propagated this most inauspicious doctrine of Kevaladvaita Vad. How can I be a devotee? He's saying like that. And then Shiva says to Narad that you are very happily praising the power of me and my wife to bestow liberation, but we are not very happy with this because the Lord's actual devotees become distressed even to hear about liberation. That we are giving liberation, but look at the kind of people who come to us for liberation. Of course, Lord Shiva gives liberation to the Vaishnavas, particularly in his own Sampradaya also. But at this point, Lord Shiva says, Alam, enough! You really want to see people who've got the mercy of Lord Vishnu? Go to Vaikuntha, he told Narada. You see me, you'll just get confused. And it can be very confusing. Go to Vaikuntha. So that was the next stop for Narada on his journey, which ultimately took him to Vrindavan. And we have part two of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is Gopa Kumar's journey to Vrindavan, but in a different way. So there's so many glories of Lord Shiva. So much is to be said about him. But now, just having read or paraphrased a section from Brihad Bhagavatamrita and given some commentary based on the commentary of Sanatana Goswami himself, I will finish this little talk and let us praise Lord Shiva, particularly on this day. We have various days. On Ram Navami, we praise Lord Rama, particularly, not that we don't praise him on other days. On Gaura Purnima, we praise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We praise him every day, but particularly on this day. So on Shivaratri, we can consider a drop of a drop of a drop of a drop of a drop from the great ocean, which is the glories of Lord Shiva. But we should see him, his glories, as he likes them to be seen, which means in relation to Lord Vishnu, seeing him as a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And what a devotee. So let us pray for his mercy. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya churnakam padayo nipatya kritva chakakushatameta daham ravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charane kuruta Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu makarona vayang vicharayama. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaur Hari Premanande, Hare Hare Bol.